TELC English B1 B2 Mock Examination 1. Listening Part 1. You'll hear 4 voicemail messages. Which answer fits best? A, B, or C? You'll hear each message once. Mark your answers for items 1 to 4 on the answer sheet. Example.
Hello, this is Megan O'Reilly from Glenwood Central Library. I noticed that you have several books that are due back in August and wanted to remind you that we're closed for renovation all August. If you want to return your books to Central Library, please do so by the 31st of July. During our closure, library services are available at South City Library. Of course, you can also use the book mobile. There's no extra charge.
Number 1.
Hi, it's Vanessa. I wanted to let you know that I can't come to the airport to pick you up this afternoon. Jesse will be there instead. However, he doesn't know the cafe where we wanted to meet, so look for him at the barrier when you come out of customs. The arrival hall can be a bit crowded, but it's better to meet there than in the parking lot. I can't wait to see you.
Number 2.
Good morning. This is Ryan Terrell from Avery Productions. I'm calling to remind you that we haven't received proof of your language proficiency yet. Please be aware that you will not be allowed to start working with us until you provide the required document. I know your English is excellent because I've spoken to you on the phone several times. But we do need the official results of the test you took a few weeks ago. Thanks.
Number 3.
Good morning. This is Elena Ionescu from the City Hotel in Bucharest. I received your email concerning the changes you would like to make to your reservation. We would have rooms available for the days you requested. They are slightly more expensive than the room you had originally reserved, but they are also larger and more comfortable. The hotel is filling up fast though. Please call back as soon as possible to finalize the booking. Thanks.
Number 4.
Good afternoon. Michael Gaboldi speaking. I'm returning your call. You said the hard drive of my laptop was irreparably damaged. This is bad news as I don't have a backup. I'd be most grateful if you could retrieve as many files as possible. Since I need a computer urgently, could you email me an offer for the latest model before the end of the day? Thanks a lot.
End of listening, Part 1. Listening, Part 2. You'll hear 5 conversations. For each conversation, there are 2 tasks. First, decide if the statement is true or false. Then, Decide which answer fits best, A, B, or C. You'll hear each conversation once. Mark your answers for items 5 to 14 on the answer sheet. Number 5 and 6.
Hello?
Hi, this is Linda Mason. I'm calling about the apartment in today's paper. Are you the right person to speak with?
Yes, I am.
Is it still available?
Well, some people have had a look, but nothing signed as I haven't made a final decision yet.
Could I see the apartment this afternoon?
Of course. Would 3:30 work?
Yes, that's perfect.
Do you know the neighborhood well?
Yes, I used to work in the area. What's the exact address?
128 2nd Avenue, apartment 6B.
I hope there's an elevator.
I'm afraid not, but the view up there is amazing. You'll love it. Also, the kitchen and the bathroom are brand new.
Sounds great. Right now, my window overlooks the garbage containers.
See you at 3:30, then.
Right. Bye.
Number 7 and 8.
Good morning, Holborn Square Dental Practice. How may I help you?
Hello, Tom Buckley here. I need an appointment urgently. One of my front teeth is hurting like mad.
All right, sir. Let me check the calendar. Are you registered with us?
No, it's been a while since I've been to a dentist. The tooth started hurting a month ago. I should have come round earlier, I know. It's just that I'm scared out of my mind about seeing a dentist. But recently, I've been overusing painkillers a little.
I understand. You needn't worry, Mr. Buckley. Dr. Pearl is very experienced with people like you, and it does sound like you shouldn't avoid an appointment any longer. How about tomorrow, 4:30 in the afternoon? Would that fit your schedule?
Thanks. Wednesday afternoon is perfect. I usually finish work early.
Number 9 and 10.
Hi, Irina. Sorry to bother you. You probably have a lot to do, but I need your help.
What can I do for you?
Could you translate this document into English for me? Unfortunately, there isn't much time. I need it by tomorrow.
Do you have the document with you?
Yes, here you are. It's only 4 pages.
Let's see. Well, it's a legal document. It contains a lot of specialized vocabulary, so it's not easy.
I know. And if you're too busy, I can ask somebody else.
Actually, it's been pretty quiet around here. There isn't nearly as much work as there was a few weeks ago. Maybe a lot of people are still on holiday.
So you can do the translation?
Yes. You said you need it by tomorrow?
That's right. Can you have it done by, say, noon?
I'll do my best.
Number 11 and 12.
Hey Brian, Lindsay here. How's life?
Oh, hi Lindsay. Sorry for not getting back to you earlier. I meant to call and invite you over for dinner before moving out, but we've been extremely busy lately. Work's been totally crazy recently, and then arranging the move...
Don't worry, Brian. I know what moving house is like. That's why I'm calling. My friend is organising a garage sale and asked whether I knew anybody who'd like to contribute something they wanted to get rid of. Since you guys said you never got round to organising your own sale, I figured...
You're an angel. We've been packing extra boxes with things we've wanted to get rid of for ages. I'll ask Charlie to drop them off next week.
Don't worry. I'll pick them up on Saturday afternoon at around 2, if that's okay with you.
Number 13 and 14.
So, are you going anywhere special this summer?
Some friends and I are planning to drive down the coast of California.
Sounds adventurous. What have you done about accommodations?
I've looked at a few places, but basically we're going to be making it up as we go.
That would be too risky for me. I like to have everything clear before I leave home. When are you heading off?
Our flight is leaving June 1st, but I haven't decided on the return date yet.
You really are relaxed about things. So you're not taking your own car?
You know, it's always been my dream to drive a red convertible down Route 1.
I think you've seen too many road movies.
That may be true, but I may never have the chance to take a vacation like this again.
End of listening, part 2. Listening, part 3. You'll hear a podcast of an interview. First, you'll have 1 minute to read the items. Then you'll hear the interview. You'll hear the podcast once. During the podcast, decide which answer fits best. A, B, or C. Mark your answers for items 15 to 20 on the answer sheet. Now read the items.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday Morning Show. My name is Melissa McGuire and our topic today is world travel. Most of us love to go on holiday every once in a while, but some people are what I would call travel addicts. Terry Andrews is one of those people. He's been traveling the world for 15 years now and he's here today to share some of his adventures with us. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
Terry, could you tell us a little about your background? How did you end up becoming a world traveler?
Well, I grew up living a pretty normal childhood in Ireland, playing football, hanging around with friends, and going to school. Nothing terribly exciting. Of course, I enjoyed going on holiday, just like everyone else does. But I was far from thinking of travel as a way of life. During my second year at university, I decided to become an engineer, much to my parents' delight. I studied hard, and everything went according to plan. But then I got a scholarship to study abroad in Mumbai, India. That was a major turning point in my life. Let me just say, I left the country as a straight-laced, typical Irish kid and returned from Mumbai with long hair, a brand new tattoo, and no desire to live a conventional life. I had no idea what I wanted instead, but I started thinking it might have something to do with world travel.
Terry, you've visited over 70 countries so far. Could you tell us about your travels?
My first major trip was to South America. I spent almost a year backpacking through Ecuador, Colombia, and Brazil. South America truly captured my imagination. I've been there several times and still haven't seen everything, but that's okay. It's a good excuse to go back someday, isn't it? I've also traveled extensively in Australia, Asia, and the Middle East. Places I have yet to visit include some African countries and Antarctica. Much as I would like to go to Antarctica next, I can't really afford it at the moment. But I'm off to South Africa in a few days. I've already got myself a job there, and may stay for at least 3 months.
Isn't all this travelling expensive?
For the most part, I'm a budget traveller and I've learned to get by on very little money. Instead of visiting major tourist sites, I usually go to less popular places and talk to local people that one would not normally meet. Through these contacts, I find really cheap accommodation and the best places to eat, or even enjoy local hospitality. It's a truly rewarding experience, and it helps me keep my living expenses down.
Even if you are, as you say, a budget traveller, you still need money to maintain your travel lifestyle. How do you earn your income?
Well, I've done a variety of things. Obviously, I've picked up some typical backpacker jobs here and there, gardening, working as a waiter, or on a farm. These jobs are not hard to find, and you can always make enough money to live on. I also taught English in South Korea once. At the time, I was planning to stay for 6 months, so getting a steady job seemed to be a reasonable thing to do. Despite the fact that the pay was good and I got free meals at the school, I have to admit that teaching just wasn't my cup of tea, and I quit after 4 months.
So what are you doing now?
A while ago, I started writing for different travel websites. Business has been growing steadily, and although I'm far from considering myself a professional, I really enjoy sharing my stories with other people and giving travel advice.
What advice would you give to people considering long-term traveling?
Don't forget to take toilet paper with you. No, seriously. My advice to all aspiring travellers is not to put it off. Of course, you're going to take a certain risk when you decide to leave your normal lifestyle behind in order to travel the world. But try to think of it this way. You only have so many years to live. Which will you remember when you're 85? A year-long journey across Australia and Southeast Asia, or 30 years of working in an office? Please don't get me wrong. Living a regular life is perfectly all right. But if you're one of those restless souls who've always dreamed of getting out and exploring the world, it's absolutely worth the risk. I have yet to hear from anyone who regrets exchanging stability for a real-life adventure.
Well, Terry, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. And now...
End of listening, part 3. Listening, part 4. You'll hear a talk show with people giving their opinions on a topic. Which statement, A to F, best matches the opinions 21 to 23? Mark your answers for items 21 to 23 on the answer sheet. You will now have half a minute to read statements A to F. You'll then hear the talk show once.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Work, Work, Work. Should I stay or should I go is today's question for our listeners. We would like to know your attitude to changing jobs, whether you are a young professional at the beginning of your career or an older person nearing retirement.
Example.
After my professional training, I stayed with the company for 3 years. I was happy in my job and didn't have any thoughts of leaving when one day I got a call from our main competitor. They offered me a better position with a 30% higher salary. I accepted, of course, and I'm now in my 6th year with them. Although I really like my job, I would do the same again if I got a similar offer, especially if the money's right.
Number 21.
Only 6 months after I changed jobs, my new employer went bankrupt.
I would never have thought of applying to my old company again. My partner, however, convinced me to do so, and, what do you think? I got my old post again. My team leader was glad to have me back, and, what's more, we're now profiting from what I learned at the other company.
Number 22.
If you'd asked me this question 2 years ago, I would have said that you should stay in your job for all your life. But I completely changed my mind after our company was taken over by a foreign investor. Within weeks, the working atmosphere deteriorated so much that I became ill. My doctor advised me to look for something new. I managed to find new employment, but it was very hard to learn the ropes again because I was so used to my old company's way of working.
Number 23.
Well, I think young people nowadays are just too fixated on making a steep and fast career and are unrealistic. They complete their vocational training, and if they're not promoted 3 months later, they quit their job and look for a new one. In my opinion, you should see your career as something long-term. I'm sure a boss will notice if someone's been doing a good job for a year or so, and will then promote them or offer them a better paid job.
Many thanks to all those who called in today. As we've heard, there's no perfect answer to our question. Tune in next Wednesday when we'll talk about work-related illnesses.
This is the end of the listening subtest. Thank you for listening.